Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Heidi Harris Show.
Hello, St. Louis!
Heidi Harris. The Heidi Harris Show is on the air.
Good evening. How you doing? Hope you're not on a plane. As of today, there have been 5,747 delays of flights in and out of the United States, into or out of the United States. 5,700. Total cancellations today, 2,200. Okay. I understand going out of town for Thanksgiving. I get it that you want to see family, but I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to fly or drive on a Sunday. That just seems like, I don't know. You try to avoid the holidays, and I get that some people can't. You got kids in school or whatnot. You can't avoid it. I understand. And it's worth it to have that one dinner, but my gosh, I don't know. You know, a drive that should be 3 hours becomes 6 or 7 hours, and you can lose your holiday spirit real quickly. So I hope you're home safe. All right, lots to get to this hour of the Heidi Harris Show. Every Sunday night, 7 to 9 p.m. right here on 97.1 FM Talk. Got Ethan expertly handling things in the studio. By the way, Ethan, I'm going to ask you coming up a little bit later to talk with me about the metaverse.
I will do my best.
Because apparently, yeah, you've had experience with it more so than I have, which is mine is zero. So I'm going to rely on you, buddy, to help me understand.
If yours is zero, Heidi, then mine's probably like 4, if we're on a scale of like 0 to 100, because mine's not too much. So, but I will do the best I can for you.
All right. At least you've done it. All right. So we'll get to that coming up in a few minutes. As most of you know, or certainly should know, there's an execution coming up for a man by the name of Kevin Johnson, who murdered a police officer, Sergeant William Leo McEntee, in 2005. And he's going to be executed finally. You know, that's the thing. Here we are in 2022. All right. You're sentenced in 2006 and now to death. And here we go. Now, finally, we're going to put you down like a rabid dog, like we should. He was 19 years old at the time he committed this execution of the police officer. He had a 2-year-old child at this time. His daughter, this is the crazy thing. His daughter wants to be there when he's executed. Now, whether you believe in the death penalty or not, I do, but I don't believe in it the way we're doing it now. I definitely don't believe in the way we're doing it now. Because the truth is, people will sit on death row for 17, 18, 20, 25 years. We don't do it. And we spend all the extra money to keep, first of all, if you're going to have a death penalty case, you got to have two attorneys. It's much more expensive to try a death penalty case. The jury selection is every aspect of a death penalty case is harder and more expensive for the taxpayers. So even though I do believe in the death penalty, I don't believe in it the way we're doing it now. That's the problem. So, you know, when we're going to start doing it where you get one appeal and boom, we're done. Not 20 years of appeals. This is ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. But anyway, he's supposed to be killed by injection. And his daughter said, I'm heartbroken that I won't be able to be with my dad in his last moments. Oh, really? Well, so is the family of Officer Sergeant William Leo McEntee. They're sorry they weren't with their dad in his last moments. I mean, it's a terrible story. What happened was he was responding to some complaints about fireworks being set off in an apartment complex. Okay, this is in Kirkwood, police department. He arrived at the scene. He began speaking with a 13-year-old boy while still seated in his patrol car. So this guy, Kevin Johnson, walks up to him on the passenger seat side of the car and just shoots him 7 times. I mean, I don't want to make everybody sadder than they already are about the situation. But if anybody deserves it, it's this guy. And I get tired of all the arguments about the death penalty being inhumane and this and that and the other. I'm sorry, what you did to this officer was inhumane. Now, I'll tell you what is inhumane about it. I actually have a friend who worked in the Department of Corrections and led some departments for a long time. And he was telling me a story, and this is a crazy story. There was a guy who had finally stopped fighting his appeals, and he was scheduled to be executed. And he goes in, he has his last meal. I don't know if he met with a spiritual leader or whatever before, but you know, whatever you do the last time, you know, give away your stuff to your cell, not cellmates, but people on the cell block. Usually you have your own cell if you're in death row, but you know, give away your stuff, do whatever. I mean, if you thought you were not coming back to your house, your apartment, your, you know, how would you handle the last day? I'm not getting sympathetic here for people on death row. Don't misunderstand, but he did whatever he had to do. His final arrangements. Okay. So he goes in, they strap him in. He's all ready to go. And then right at the last second, some light goes on or whatever it is that happens in the room. And his execution was called off because some lawyer somewhere filed some appeal. Even when the guy had said, I'm done filing appeals. I just want to be done with this. And he got up when they let him off the table. Can you imagine? You think you're going to meet whoever you're going to meet. And you know, you could have found God in prison. I'm not saying you can't. I'm not judging anybody's spiritual state. Some people do. Some people don't. So you get to that point, you think you're going to meet that person, that maker, or maybe you think there's nothing after you die, whatever you happen to believe. And then they call it off. And the guy got up from the table and he said to my friend who was in the room, he said, I'll never do this again. Now, I'm sorry, that's cruel and unusual. Once again, this is a girl who believes in the death penalty. That is cruel and unusual. To put somebody through all of that and then to have someone come in at the last minute and file an appeal, some do-gooder, when the man has said, I am done with appeals, that's cruel and unusual to put somebody through that. And I do believe in punishment, and I do believe in the death penalty. I don't believe, and I've heard some people say, I don't want to see him. I don't want to see him killed. I want to see him rot forever. Okay, I don't agree with that either. My whole objective here when you're talking about justice is justice. And justice, and I want to make them suffer forever. No, I want to make them pay for their crime. And they should just be taken out and dealt with the firing squad, and it should be over with if that is the, you know, magnitude of the case. But this idea that we just continue to appeal, these people on death row costing us a fortune. I've actually been to death row in Nevada. I've actually walked around in that room where these people, you see them on the other side of the glass, and some of these cases I was familiar with, and I was, oh, there's that so-and-so. He did. I know what he did. You know, creepy. Creepy to walk in there and you're on the other side of the glass from all these people who've done some pretty heinous things. And it's a you know, awful thing. And it's between you and God at this point. But the idea that we're worried about how somebody, this girl says, oh, he was a good father. He's been incarcerated since she was 2 years old. And I don't want to pick on her because she's been through enough and I don't really know about much about her. But during the first trial in 2007, the jury was in deadlock, giving him the lesser offense of second degree murder. I'm sorry, you walked up to a police car and shot a cop sitting in a car through the passenger window. I'm second degree murder? What in the French toast is that about? Second degree murder? Thank God it was deadlocked. Are you kidding me? Anyway, so God bless the family of Sergeant William Leo McEntee. And I'll tell you something else. You know, here's this man who's been passed away since 2005 was the end of his watch. 2005, his family's had to live without him all these years, and it never ends for them. Now there's the execution, and then there's the delay, and then there's this, and then there's an appeal, and then there's that, and two trials, and it never ends. That's what nobody wants to talk about what happens to the victims. I remember years ago, I may have told you guys this story before, and if I have, forgive me. I've told it many times over the years because it's so important. When I was a teenager, I used to deliver flowers, you know, as a part-time job, one of my many jobs that I had as a kid. And I would deliver flowers. And one of the things that you do when you deliver flowers is you'll go and make somebody's day by sending roses or whatever. And then you'll go to the funeral homes and drop flowers off there too. So I went to the funeral home with some flowers, and there was this really good looking guy in a coffin. And that sounds weird because he was dead, but I mean, he was a good looking guy. And I, about 23 years old, and I said to the guy at the funeral home, I said, why is he here? And he said he surprised a burglar. And so he came downstairs and a burglar was in the house. A burglar shot him. So when I hear people talk about things like nonviolent offenders, many times they put burglars in the same category. And most burglars aren't violent offenders from the perspective of, you know, actual physical violence, because they come in when you're not there, because they are, you know, gutless cowards who come in when you're at work or something else, and they can't actually go out and do a real job like you're doing. I mean, you come home after you've worked a hard day and find out some lowlife, I'm cleaning this up for the air, I'd use another word, but some just waste of DNA has been in your house, stealing the things you're out there working hard to get. So I have zero regard for burglars. But they're not all nonviolent. And many times if they come into your house and they surprise you, or you surprise them, I should say, things can go awry very quickly. And they'll grab a kitchen knife, or if they have a gun or your gun or whatever, and things go badly. So clearly, they're not nonviolent offenders in my book. They technically may be in most cases until they run into you, but I have no regard for them. So here's the worst part of that situation. So fast forward like 15 years, and I get into talk radio. It's like 10, almost 15 years later. I get into talk radio. And I start seeing stories about this woman, the mother, and I remembered this guy's name. And I start seeing stories about this mother who has now got to go up to the capital of Nevada in Carson City. Remember, this was when I was a teenager in Vegas, Carson City, Nevada, to go up there to testify to keep her son's murderer in jail. And this is 15 years afterward. And I'm sure the mother's passed by now, but this is, and I remember that many times having to talk about her over the years. And this never ends for victims. This never ends. And if you've been the victim of a crime, I don't care what it is, you know what a hassle it is. I mean, besides the fact that you feel victimized, even if it's something like a property crime, you feel victimized. It makes you really mad when someone takes your stuff. I've been there. It just makes you mad. Why did they do this? Why don't these losers go get a job? It makes you crazy, these tweakers. Go get a real job. Get off the stuff. Stop it. But when it's murder, or it's a drunk driver, or it never ends for the victims, ever. You know, years go by. If you're lucky, you even get a trial. You know, you don't even know if you're going to get one. And if you, maybe you'll get justice, maybe you won't. I mean, it just breaks your heart when you hear these kinds of stories. And whether it's a cop, you know, putting his butt on the line every single day for us, killed by a gutless coward who walked up to him and shot him because he thought that the cop, he was upset because his brother had died earlier in the day, and he thought the cop prevented his mom from going in to see the brother. You know, it's, I'm not even going to bore you with his supposed reasons. But he was a gutless coward and killed this police officer in his car who was simply trying to help in the neighborhood. And the family is not getting justice. Still hasn't had justice. But that's many, many people in America who don't get justice. I don't really want to hear about his daughter and how she wants to see her. She wants to be there in her dad's final moments. Oh, well, Sergeant McEntee's kids didn't get to. Wife didn't get to. They weren't there in his final moments. We have to keep our focus on the victims of crime. Now, I'm not saying that people who perpetrate crime aren't entitled to a fair trial, because of course they are. Everybody is in America. We'll give you a fair trial. We'll give you representation. I get that. Are all outcomes fair and just for everybody? No. No, not at all. Are people wrongfully convicted? Yeah, sometimes. Not in this case. Sometimes they are. It does happen. But more people get off the hook who shouldn't than are wrongfully convicted. Far more. But the sad thing is, these people are entitled to justice and they're not getting it. So here we are, all these years later, 17 years later, maybe he's going to be executed. Who knows? Maybe there'll be a last minute stay. I don't know. Makes me crazy. These people stand outside in front of the prison with a candle. Really? And I'm saying this as a Christian. All right? I believe in the death penalty. And to my understanding of the Bible backs me up on this. So I just don't understand, you know, why we're not focusing on the victims. The victims are all who should matter. Yes, I mean, the perpetrators deserve, like I said, they deserve fair, whatever, the fair treatment, clearly. But at the end of the day, when you've been sentenced to death, we should just, that's it. Put you down like a rabid dog because that's what you deserve. That's it. This gutless coward, 19 years old, blows away this cop sitting in his police car. It's outrageous. I was a police officer for 20 years, giving his heart and soul to the Missouri communities. And, you know, that this is it. This is what you get. So I have no patience for these people at all. None whatsoever. And I don't really care whether his daughter's upset that she can't be there. And this concern about, oh, whether or not it's going to, it might be painful when you inject them. You know what? I've had animals put down. Now, recently, the last time I had a dog put down, they started doing something different where they'd give them something else first, and then they gave them the shot that ended their, stopped their heart. Frankly, I don't like the first shot because I think it hurts them. It's kind of, so my dog kind of yelped, and I don't want to talk about it. But why can't we do to people what they do to dogs? You know, they give them one shot that stops their heart. That's what should happen. Not the sedative and this and that. The one that stops their heart, if you've ever put a dog down, it's quick and it's humane. It's a way to do it. Breaks your heart. You cry your eyes out. I've got two of my dogs are 14 years old. This is going to be a rough year, I think. So I understand what that's like too. But there are people who don't deserve to breathe anymore. They don't deserve to cost the taxpayers another dime. You have forfeited your right to live among us. That's it. End of story. Over and out. So, anyway. All right. Coming up, we'll talk about the mayor. Tashara Jones is fed up with Twitter. Oh, is she really? We'll talk about that and other people who are upset with Elon Musk, which is just, it's hilarious to watch. It's like watching a bad car accident. Well, nothing's fun about a car accident. It's like watching reality TV. How about that? We'll get to that and much more on The Heidi Harris Show. This is 97.1 FM Talk.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Good evening. How you doing? Every Sunday night, 7 to 9 p.m., the Heidi Harris Show, right after Wiggins America. I love this. Now we got a four-hour talk block on Sunday nights. Wednesdays 5 to 7. I'm 7 to 9 every Sunday night. So thank you for joining me. Many of you do every week, and I so appreciate that. You can watch me doing this live on the Heidi Harris Show Facebook page, Heidi Harris Show. And I also am on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Heidi Harris Show, Heidi Harris Show, Heidi Harris Show. Although Instagram, I mostly put pictures of my pets up. I'm not that in love with myself that I feel the need to do a dance routine or anything else. If you're looking for that, you're not going to see that on Instagram, okay? I put a picture up tonight of my poodle sitting right next to it. I have one of those heat discs. You know what I'm talking about, Ethan? It's like a disc. Makes no noise, but it's like a heater, space heater.
Yeah, they kind of look like fans, right?
Well, it's kind of, but it's just nothing but heat, but
yeah,
it makes no noise.
Yeah.
Right, so in a radio studio, that's what you've got to have because it makes no noise.
Sure.
My poodle and my dachshund jockey for position. They'll sit right in front of it, like hair on fire. I'm sure it's a fire code.
Yeah, I mean, you start smelling a little smoky, you might have to start, you know, be a little
have to
concerned.
Take a burst of action, right, if I see jump up with a fire extinguisher. Now, I put a picture up on that tonight. I thought you guys might get a kick out of that. All right, Mayor Tashara Jones, who I've never followed on Twitter, thank God, apparently says she's done with Twitter. She's done. Oh, we'll miss her terribly. Apparently, she's got 33,000 followers. And she hit a break point this week when the social media sites, I'm quoting some of this from the Post Disgrace, as Mark Cox calls it. I never steal a line from anybody. Some people call it the Post Dispatch. Mark Cox calls it the Post Disgrace, and he's right. She's upset about, she said, this is the final straw. Elon Musk lampooned Twitter's past support for 2014's Ferguson protest. She said, that's the last straw for me. I'm out. Well, who cares? We'll miss you. So anyway, she was upset. Elon Musk put a picture of himself. He apparently found a stash of Stay Woke t-shirts in a company closet. He put a picture of himself on there. Then he made fun of Twitter's past support for the protests in Ferguson. Of course, the Michael Brown situation was all based on a lie. Everybody knows that. So anyway, Mark Cox has been tweeting about that tonight, by the way, if you want to follow him on Twitter. And like I said, I'm Heidi Harris Show. And Mark Cox is, I think Mark Cox, what is Mark Cox? Let me find out here. I just saw him tweeting about this today. Mark Cox from the Mark Cox Morning Show, as you know. Mark Cox, oh, Mark Cox 971, he is on Twitter. Okay, so check it out. Anyway, so she said, follow me on Instagram. Y'all can have this bird app. Apparently, she's still, I guess her office, her official mayoral account is still posting there. But who cares what she thinks? So I'm just laughing about all these lefties who are freaking out about Twitter. They're losing their minds because they no longer have control of the narrative. And I don't think it should be all conservative. Certainly, there are other apps out there. I think Gab, and I'm on Getter, but I'm almost never on it. So don't be looking for anything from me. Every once in a while, I post something, but very rarely. I just don't have the time. I don't have the bandwidth to do all this stuff. I don't want to bother with it. So I try to make the time that I put things on social media, you know, as useful as possible. And I know that Twitter is kind of shadow banned because I'll put things on and I know a lot of people don't see it. I don't know how that works. Maybe, hopefully, you know, Elon Musk will allow that. I don't know. I don't know how the whole thing works. I really don't. I don't claim to. So it's frustrating. But the reason I'm on Twitter is because I don't want to be in an echo chamber. I know there are Christian things like Twitter. I don't even know what some of them are. I don't want to be in an echo chamber. And as a person of faith, great. That's nice to talk to other people of faith. But when I'm on Twitter, it's for news. It's either to talk about, you know, mention the show, mention something's going on, or respond to some comment or something going on in the news. I don't bother with trolls. I don't engage those people, but I will respond to something going on in Twitter and things like that. I find it useful as a person in the media. I know many people are not on it. I get it. And some of you are tired of us talking about Twitter, but it is important because a lot of the news that you see every day is generated by what people are talking about on Twitter. That's what these people do. And they look, they get up in the morning and they go, oh, what's trending on Twitter? I think I'll talk about that. Now I look at that too. Most of the time I don't base my show on it or anything I talk about on it, but it is important to know what people are talking about, at least on Twitter. Not everybody, not you at the grocery store, not you at the dog park or the baseball field or whatever, but some people are talking about it. And then it tends to sway what these guys write about. So Chris Hayes from MSNBC is upset about it. He says his worst fears have been realized since Elon Musk acquired Twitter. I'd love to know. He said that Musk has courted some of the worst trolls on Twitter, has scared off advertisers and cut staff. I got to tell you, I'm on Twitter every day. I've not seen any difference in the way things operate. I don't know what these people were doing at Twitter. And I don't claim to know. Okay, I do not claim to know. But it's just, it's funny. So he describes Musk's handling of Twitter as a near-death experience. Oh, for heaven's sake. He said, if Twitter survives, and I fervently hope it does, its near-death experience has revealed something fundamental about our online lives. The digital spaces of civic life, the public town square, as Mr. Musk deemed Twitter, have been privatized to our collective detriment. No, no, no. Here's the thing, though. It was never an open space. Everybody knows this. Everyone, you know, whatever social media you're on, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know this stuff is all being censored. You know that. There are certain things that you don't see that they, you know, I'm not going to go into the Hunter Biden laptop. Kill me now. I'm so sick of hearing about that. But now you know what happened. They throttled it. They didn't want anybody to see that before the election. And now even the mainstream media is admitting, well, there was something with the Hunter Biden laptop. I just even hate seeing those three words. I can't even stand it. I don't want to insult you and waste your time with that. But we know that they throttled that so nobody got to see it. We know that. So Chris Hayes talked about, he's criticizing Elon Musk. He said, before Mr. Musk bought Twitter, its co-founder and former CEO Jack Dorsey said of the platform that no one should own it. It wants to be a public good at a protocol level. It's not a public good. It was never a public good. They make it sound like, you know, everybody was allowed on there. They weren't. I mean, everybody shouldn't be allowed on there, by the way. I mean, there's porn on there. And there are people who say there's child trafficking. I've never seen any of those. What I've seen, I mean, full frontal nudity. People have sent it to me. Trolls have sent me shots of full frontal nudity of people. How does that get through? I'm like, what are you? Why are you sending me this? I've reported it, but I've seen full frontal. Whoa, okay. I don't need to see that. So don't tell me that. I mean, that shouldn't be on Twitter. Thank you very much. I can go somewhere else if I want to see that. But Chris Hayes from MSNBC is freaking out. He says he talked about praising Twitter prior to Musk as an arena where something akin to the global conversation was taking place. He said it came closest to executing on the core vision of what the global town square could look like. That's not true, Mr. MSNBC. It's not. It's never been true. Nothing in social media is true. Nothing your friends post on Facebook is true. That's, you know, one of my former producers used to call it the highlight reel. That's what Facebook is. You don't see the fight they had with their spouse. You don't see the fact that their kids are on drugs. They don't put that on Facebook. Well, sometimes they do. And if they do, it's like, please go get some therapy. But the truth is, it's not reality. Instagram's not reality. These people who spend hours and hours and hours doing their, you know, their little dance or whatever that they do on Instagram or TikTok's a whole disaster. Trump was right about that too. All the stuff that TikTok's able to, if you have that on your phone, take it off. If your kids have it on their phone, make them take it off. It's terrible. I put a story, by the way, on the Heidi Harris Show Facebook page. You can check it out the other day about all the things TikTok does and all the information they gather from your devices if you have that app on there. So don't do it. But it's never been, you know, a town square. Not at all. Then Chris Hayes goes on to say, that's why there was so much apprehension when Mr. Musk bought the site. No one man should have all that power. Like who? Like George Soros has? You're right. I agree. I mean, think about that. The people behind silencing everything that you hear. Anyway, it's laughable. It really is laughable. He also concluded in this essay that he wrote in the New York Times, he said, the world's most successful capitalist, by at least one measure, has made the most definitive case for rejecting private ownership of the public sphere that we've seen in a long time. Let that sink in. Oh, brother. Okay. You know what? They're just whiners. They don't know what to do with themselves. They're losing their minds because they can't silence everybody on the right anymore. And that's what makes them crazy. And people, I'm leaving. Well, like I said, the reason I'm on Twitter, I don't know what the majority of people on Twitter, I would think, you know, most of the media, obviously, people in the media are lefties, most of them, not all of them, most of them. But I don't know what the makeup is, 60-40, I don't know what it is. But I stay on it because I want to see what a lot of people are saying from all different walks of life. Anybody can get on Twitter and create an account, anybody. I don't care if you've ever, you know, whatever you've done in life. Successful, not successful, whatever. It's interesting to hear what people have to say. And that's why I stay on it. And you may not agree with them. You may not even know if it's really them, but it's still, to me, there's value in it. That's all. And I like the idea that he's letting some people back on it, like Trump. I don't know if Trump's going to actually, let me see if Trump's even, I don't think he's tweeted, has he yet? Because he's got to worry about that. Because if he does that, apparently he's in the middle of doing some deal. Let's see, Trump. Let me see. Nope. 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 Nothing. He hasn't tweeted anything since January 8th. 87 million followers because he can't, because he's got this other thing, which I've not been on, Truth Social. I will not get on it because they want my phone number. I don't want to give people my phone number. I haven't had to give it to Twitter. I'm not giving it to Truth Social. And that's the thing too. I don't know who's on Truth Social, so I don't want to paint them all with a broad brush, but I don't want to be on something that's full of conservatives and that's all who's on there. I don't want that. Now, maybe that's not true. I would imagine most people aren't on it if they're not conservative. I could be wrong. But I don't want an echo chamber. There's enough of that in the world. That's the problem. So anyway, it's fascinating how this whole thing works. Fascinating. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about the meta. I don't even know how this works. It's the metaverse that Mark Zuckerberg is trying to promote. That's what he thinks is the next big thing. That's where you wear those goggle looking things and it takes you into another place. What could go wrong? I don't know. We'll talk about that coming up next. I'm Heidi Harris.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good evening. How you doing? Glad you are here. All right. I want to get to the metaverse, but I do want to get to this story. I mean, I never have enough time. That's why I do videos during the week, which you can find at HeidiHarris.com. HeidiHarris.com. I also do a podcast in addition to the show. It's at HeidiHarris.com or also Odyssey.com. Just type in Heidi Harris. But you can find my videos at Rumble or just look at HeidiHarris.com because I post them all there. Because I just don't have enough time to get to everything on a Sunday night. So Mercedes-Benz, did you guys see this? They plan to charge owners of their upcoming line of electric cars. Listen to that. I don't even know what the cars are going to cost, but they're going to charge, listen to this, $1,200 a year, a subscription fee. I don't know if you've noticed this, but they're doing this now. They're charging a subscription fee. In other words, you buy the car and you have to pay for other things. Like there are some companies that charge you. It's crazy land. They charge, like they're saying that one person on Twitter was saying, what do you want to connect your phone? $20 a month. Want to go in reverse? That's an extra $300. Right. But that's what some of these car makers are doing. BMW did this in July. They tried to charge $18 a month for heated seats, $18 a month. So if you quit paying and you live in, I don't know, Minnesota, but can you imagine you buy the car? It's bad enough you got the payment. You buy the car and now they're going to charge you per month for things that you might need. Now, listen to this with Mercedes. I had no idea this was a thing. $1,200 a year to boost the ability to accelerate quickly. I'm not making that up. $1,200 a year. Apparently, Tesla had this in 2016, which gave drivers an acceleration boost for a one-time fee of $10,000. Now, I could just tell you this. My husband and I were talking about this. He said, what? He's a car guy. We were talking about this, and I could just tell you, I'm not, you know, when I was in my 20s, I drove like a maniac, but I don't so much anymore. But if I accelerate now at this point in my life, there's a lifetime emergency, a life-threatening emergency, I should say. In other words, I've got to get away from somebody who's crazy. Today, I had some guy come across three lanes of traffic. If I hadn't been a better driver than he was, I would have totaled my car. Came across three lanes of traffic, never stopped, never even saw me coming around this corner. I had to slam on my brakes, take aversive action to avoid totaling my paid-for car. I was not happy. But generally, if you accelerate quickly, you're on a highway, you want to get around something, you want to pass somebody, right? Sometimes, you know, there could be a life-threatening situation, you want to accelerate quickly. Can you believe that? The package offers a 0-60 acceleration increase of up to 1 second, as well as improved torque and engine output for all the EQ models. But here's the thing. Apparently, according to GearPatrol.com, the move towards subscriptions for car features means owners won't be able to resell a vehicle for its features because the features are monthly. Isn't that crazy? So if you want to buy an electric car, knock yourself out. Okay, I had to get that in there. Let's talk about the metaverse. Now, I don't know if you know about this. Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook, now he calls it Meta, he's pretty much put all of his eggs in that cart, okay? He really, really thinks the metaverse is the thing. That's where you wear the goggles and you see an entire universe in front of you or something like that. Ethan, please jump in here and help me.
Yeah, so it's the virtual reality where you put on the headset, right? And then you can do a bunch of different things inside of that world. You can go through and watch movies on there. You can play different, you know, hypothetical simulations. I've played where there's controls that you hold in each hand, and you can almost kind of like Nintendo Wii style, like you did back in the day. You can do the Wii Sports kind of thing, but it's actual on the virtual headset. So you can like play ping pong, but the paddle is actually, you're seeing it in your hand, but it's really a controller. That's just an example, obviously. But you can do all kinds of different things. There's videos online of people, you can see what they're actually doing in real life, but then you can see what they're seeing in the headset. And it looks like they're walking across a tightrope in between two skyscrapers when really they're just in their living room and they fall over and they think that they're falling off a skyscraper, but they're really just falling onto their living room floor. So it's supposed to give the idea, right, virtual reality, that you were in a different world, you were doing something else. So it's pretty interesting, Heidi, and I would definitely, I'm sure that there is someone that you know that has one or knows someone that has one, to try it out, because it is pretty interesting.
Well, you know what's scary to me about it is the idea that you're trying to avoid reality. You know, you can talk about, like they're saying, oh, it's great if you want to go actually walk in Pompeii, you know, see inside an atom, bowl with friends who live a world away. I'm talking about some of these things you can do. Pop on a headset, you know, you can live anywhere you like. And, you know, there's that, but it strikes me as like people who will go in and play a slot machine for hours because they want to get away from reality, or people who take drugs because they want to escape reality, or people who do, you know, play video games. And I'm not saying you're bad if you play video games, but there are people who do it for fun or whatever, and there are people who do it to escape reality. To me, it just seems like another... I'm having enough trouble just dealing with the real world is the way I look at it. I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think you make a good point. I think there is also a part of it that you could say there's definitely a line, right, where if it's an escape, if it's a... how much of your time is it consuming?
Right.
Then sure, I think you can make a point for that. I think there is also another end of it that it is, I mean, as we see, technology continues on improving, and who would have thought 15 years ago that we'd be looking at this and having this kind of technology to be able to use this, which is really cool, right? So I think there definitely is a line to where you could draw and you could say, this is a little bit too much. It's drawing people away more so from, like you said, like today's world. But I think that up until that point, which I'm not really sure what that line is or how much time spent is that line, I don't think it's too big of an issue.
Yeah, it's just weird to me because, you know, the poet Juvenal in 100 AD coined a phrase, give the people bread and circuses, right?
Okay.
And it kind of reminds me of that. It's like an extension of the bread and circuses.
Sure.
The more we can keep you wearing these goggles,
right,
and thinking you're walking a tightrope or walking the streets of Pompeii or whatever, the more you don't pay attention. It's like the people who want to me, and maybe I'm making the wrong connections here, but it's like the people who want to legalize pot and they'll say, oh, you know, this and that and the other, and I'm putting one over on the man. No, you're not, because you're out of it while things are happening that are affecting your life. And having worked in a casino years ago, I would see people come in there and sit there at a slot machine the entire day that I worked. putting money in the slot machine. And I talked to some people. I didn't talk to my customers like this, but I talked to other people who did this, and they said, oh yeah, well, while I do that, I'm just blocking out reality. And my first thought, I'm not criticizing you to play slot machines, whatever, it's your business, but my first thought was, but yeah, but when you're done and you've blown the rent money, reality will still be there. And so the less time you spend in reality, the less time you can solve the problems you may have, correct? Sure. Am I missing something?
No, I think that's a good point. And I think that you could definitely, you could go back to that and you could say with the virtual reality that maybe people are kind of putting their, I guess, if you are putting your time into something, you're putting, you could argue you're putting your hope into it. If that is your escape in the same way that you are with the slots, right? That you're putting your hope in something else, which I know we've talked a little bit about, just in that that's dangerous when that's when your hope is put in something that is inconsistent and not steady.
Right. Exactly right. Or you can't wait to get home from work and escape reality. Sure. Some people do it with booze or pills. You know, they used to call Valium Mother's Little Helper. I've never heard that phrase back in the day, because you try to get through the day and that's right. What you do. But it's escaping reality. There used to be years ago, there was a company called Calgon. I don't know if they even still make it, and used as a bubble bath. And they would say, Calgon, take me away. You know, mom would get into the bathtub. And so there was a way to escape reality. Everybody needs that moment. Okay. I know that. I get it. You just want to take a break here and make the world stop for a second. But I just think I'm just trying to figure out how it benefits society. And they're saying, well, yeah, but if you're in a history class and you could go walk the streets of Pompeii. Now, I would think that would be fast. That's one place I would like to go if I were. I didn't cool. do as much. Yeah, I've not done as much traveling as I should and could and would like to. But I would love to go to Pompeii and see some of these kinds of things. But yeah, they're talking about 3D demonstrations or virtual trips to exotic locations. And, you know, children won't have to worry about websites and whiteboards. They might learn this other way or swim across an atom or this. Okay, all right. I just don't know how it's good for society.
And I think that you could argue, I think some of those points are, yeah, those they could use this in a way that is good and could maybe help in learning. I've seen it, the majority of the way that I have seen these things marketed is from an entertainment aspect rather than an educational tool. But that would be interesting if they were to take it in that direction. And like I said, I think that with new pieces of technology, you could argue that there is ways that they can be used for good and to entertain and obviously to make a lot of money. But on the other end, with that, there is also that potential of taking it too far. And all of a sudden it is dangerous, or all of a sudden it is does have some major negative effects to society.
Yeah, and that's the thing with with everything, alcohol, social media.
Yeah, definitely.
Anything. You'd have a glass of wine at the Thanksgiving dinner, or you can drink half a flask because you're sick of having to eat with the same people every year.
Sure. No kidding.
Whatever it might be. So I don't know. I just think it's just interesting that they want to take up more and more and more of your time and your attention. And that's the whole point behind social media, is to be able to, you know, they've done all these things, that these algorithms and things that they create to be able to capture more of your time and more of your attention. And you and I, of course, see it differently as people of faith. I look at it as the more time I spend in the Bible, the better my life gets and the better my thinking gets.
Sure.
That's really what it comes down to. So I don't know. I think if everybody spent more time in the Bible, the world would be a better place. I'm not saying you can't do virtual reality. There's, you know, if that's what you're into, have some little recreation or whatever. But I just think it's a scary thing. Can you imagine a whole classroom full of kids with these stupid goggles on?
No, that is something that I haven't thought about, and that would be really interesting. And I guess, you know, maybe for short pieces of time, maybe not an issue, but if you're spending a good portion of your day in those things, that's not good for one, physical health or mental health. I mean, you go on YouTube and you can find videos of people wearing these things for 24, 48 hours, and they talk about the motion sickness, and they talk about filling up their vomit bags, which I know is disgusting, but I mean, that's just unhealthy.
Yeah, you were telling me about some guy who did a challenge, a 24-hour challenge, and had all kinds of major problems, right?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Just like in the moment, your motion sickness, I mean, you have no sense of what's going on around you because you were in a virtual reality.
Well, if I thought I was walking a tightrope because I had goggles on, that would be a real problem. you fall over and crash into your coffee table or something. I don't know. Everybody have a great week. Don't forget you can follow me, HeidiHarris.com, Heidi Harris Show, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Thank you, Ethan, as always. Have a great week. Tune in to Mark Cox in the morning. See you next Sunday.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.